This is the second monthly meeting?
No, first.
Yeah, it says second here. The first monthly meeting, am I looking at the wrong agenda?
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, November 9th? Yeah, okay.
We're okay.
Yeah, the first, for November 9th, for the Port of Port Townsend, we'll stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, so everyone has an agenda? Are there any additions or corrections to the agenda? I move that we approve the agenda.
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, are there still people signing in for the public hearing? So. Looks like everyone's finished. This is the second public hearing for the Port of Port Townsend's, the second public hearing for the Port of Port Townsend's 2016 operating budget is now open. All persons wishing to be heard should have signed in at the sign-in table. If you've not done so, please do so now. The rules are the public hearing will proceed in an orderly fashion. Everyone will be given an opportunity to be heard. Anyone making comments should first give his or her name and address. Speak slowly, clearly, as the proceedings are being recorded. In fairness to all in attendance, each person will be given an opportunity to address the commission for a period not to exceed 3 minutes. Unused minutes may not be transferred to another individual. I'm requesting commissioners to hold their questions of the public until everyone is finished. This is the time for the presentation of testimony and no debate is allowed. Before hearing from members of the public, I'm going to introduce Abigail Berg, who will make the staff presentation.
We gotta do the consent agenda. Oh, we're doing the public hearing first.
Right.
So.
I'm good.
You.
Okay. So we're looking at the draft 2016 operating budget. I think everybody's had a chance to look at it. We met this morning in the workshop. And it's been available on the website.
Let's, can we get a clarification on this?
Oh, sure.
What's that?
That was the consolidated budget that we talked about this morning, which is just showing you short and sweet what would be a 3.5%. So this is with half the mortgage going to 5% between 3.5%, and it's a difference of $18,000.
I see, so you're 2 cents per square foot.
Mm-hmm.
No, that was just given to us at the end of the last meeting, right?
Right, that was the last minute handout, and it's page 7 on the draft budget. So it compares page 7 to the draft budget to this. So I should have gotten this, it went around. You got that?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not sure I do. No, I don't think I have.
He just passed it out.
This?
Yeah.
You passed it to me?
This one, that one right there.
This is in this.
No, that's included.
Yeah, this is separate.
No, just put it on your.
You put it on my stack of papers?
I did.
Oh, no, who knows where it could be now?
There was a stack and it was going around the table. That's it.
Oh, this is it.
Brad, you got one?
Yeah, so make sure I got the right one. It's about an $18,000 difference, right?
Right, the bottom one, the net income is 261 versus what's currently in the draft.
Oh, okay, got it.
279.
Yeah, so this.
So if I could, staff started with a recommendation, I mean, the first draft of the budget represented a 2% increase. And that showed a $104,000 loss. We went back to the drawing table and did some more calculations to what would be required to give you a balanced budget. What you have now, this draft that just passed out, is a balanced budget. It's going to leave about $50,000 in the bank at the end of the year, if everything works. So there's been a lot of debate in the workshop about 3.5 versus 5.5. This represents 5.5% across the board and 1/3 of the salary side. So that's what's in this document we're looking at right now. But it is a balanced budget, and if that's what we want to do, those would be the assumptions.
So if we drop to 3.5, we'll still be balanced?
No. We figure it gives us 216?
261.
So I guess it would, because the grant is 230, and subtract 234.
We'd have 37.
Yeah, off of that. So it would give you
30,000
instead of 50. Correct.
And if I were to arbitrarily change the salary to a quarter, that would increase the bottom line a little bit too.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, you would prove it with that amount of money, but what I'm saying is I may not spend it all.
Right.
Just leave some of it in the bank.
Okay.
Okay, so that's all the presentation, so I guess
Thursday.
Yeah,
we've got the rate schedules. You know, Jim put a lot of work into putting these together. If you want to look at those or wait till after you
they all
we've got them. Yeah, I've got the new ones.
Okay, the first one up would be this is your time for your public testimony. The first one would be George Young. Young?
Wait a minute, I signed up for number 4, open mic.
Well, I think everyone else.
He's kidding.
No ukuleles, please.
George Young, 717 25th Street, Fort Townsend. Thank you for a wonderful workshop this morning, particularly for everyone who had an opportunity to share their views and their concerns. I'm assuming that you're going to want to adopt the budget today, and I think that's fine. We're moving in the right direction. Concern that I have is that we're talking about CPI plus 1.5, and the concern I have is that the CPI is only to catch up on the purchasing power of the dollar for that year. So I'm assuming then, if I hear you right, that 2017 will also include the CPI plus 1.5, and the same for the year after that. If that's not correct, then please advise me on that. The other thing that I'd like to share with you is that rate increases are not, the discussion for rate increases are not going to go away with the adoption of this budget. And I would encourage you to take a look at the full range of what goes into a rate. Is it the acquisition of a facility, its operation, the administration, the whole enchilada of what it takes to operate the port? Or is it market-driven? And if so, what does market-driven mean? I would be happy to rent this facility and ask all the people that are concerned about rates, because let's have this conversation here. So I would like to offer that opportunity so that we can finally get at some common ground of what marketplace or what rates really represent. Thank you very much.
Thank you, George. Boy, I can't read this one.
It's Melinda.
It's Melinda?
I can never read it.
I'm deeply troubled by this budget, based on the discussions this morning of lowering the mortgage rates. The increases are based on CPI that's not relevant to this board. We've already determined that that's a consumer index. It is not an industrial index. We have seen cash go from 5.4 million in 2010 to 2 million today. And that is a direct indication of the fact that revenues have not increased at the rate that the actual price index for this forecast. Raising mortgage by 2% or 2 cents rather than to use fair market value is a travesty to the voters of Jefferson County. I would again like to remind the commissioners that districts 2 and 3 want economic development for their districts and voted so. As a taxpayer, I'm appalled that we will still be subsidizing port operations to an extent that it should not be, because we are not keeping fair market values for our services. And finally, without the capital budget included, we don't know what our ending cash position will be. And respectfully, I would suggest this budget not be approved at this time. Thank you.
Thank you. And next is Ron.
Ron Hayes, Port Townsend, Washington. It sounds to me like the adjusted budget that has been presented just now doesn't seem like that big a number now difference. And but I think Melinda is right. It's the whole idea that we're not charging enough in rates, and where can we get more for our services that we provide to the community and people that use the port. And I worry about the future, you know, going forward. If we can't generate enough revenue, we're going to be squeezing ourselves more and more every year. And it sounds like to me the only place to, you know, reduce costs are through salaries. So in other words, we'll subsidize the marina at the expense of our employees, and that just seems ridiculous. And anyhow, but let me just remind you, back in 2010, we had over $5 million in cash. In 2011, it dropped to $4.2 million. In 2012, $3.3 million. In 2013, $2.7 million. And now this year, you know, depending on how much our capital expenditures are going to be, we're dropping below $2 million, or I really don't know what it's going to be. But to me, that's a worsening trend of our cash position keeps going down, and there's a certain amount of risk of running out of cash. And I think, you know, we got to keep talking about this all next year, and you guys have to approve the budget, and you know, whatever the majority wants is going to happen. But I think we have to keep looking at the total plan of what we want to do with this board. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Any other testimony? Okay. There being no further testimony, I will close the public testimony portion of the hearing. It is now in order for the commission to discuss this matter and to make a motion to take action or to postpone.
And we have all the resolutions prepared, right, Abigail? That are required. Just a little administrative note, we don't have a lot of time. We need to adopt something this month and get up to the county. They act as our treasurer, and it has to go through the county. County commissioners have to approve it. Not that they're they don't have the authority to change it, it's just that administrative capacity. And that all has to be done the first part of December. The other thing is, when it comes to rates, you have the authority. You know, we always talk about them as part of our budget every year, as we should, because it gives staff, you know, idea of what kind of revenues to expect and we get a better plan. But you guys can change rates every meeting if you wanted to. Don't recommend that, but you know, it doesn't have to be, you know, once you vote, that's not the end of it. You know, 6 months from now, you say, geez, you know, we should have gone with this, or we went a little bit too far with that rate. We'll put on the agenda and you can modify it. So just put your, have that in the back of your head too.
So just a point of order clarification. Don't we go through points 4 and 5 on the agenda before we get to 6? We haven't approved.
You should follow the agenda, yes.
Yeah.
Well, we're right now we're in the public hearing.
Right.
Okay.
But I'm
okay.
Are you proposing that we're going
to great. Okay.
Yeah, you probably should go back.
Yeah, let's go back and approve the consent agenda. So everyone's looked at the consent agenda?
Yeah, I have some comments I'd like to make.
Okay.
So the public hearing is closed.
Yeah, close the public hearing and then we were earlier. Public hearing is closed.
So I'll make a motion that we approve the consent agenda and then we can second it and then it's open for discussion before mm-hmm. we vote on it. Isn't that the correct?
No. If you want to, if you want to make comments on the consent agenda, you make comments and then you approve it. So, if you want to make comments on the consent agenda,
which way do you want to go?
Robert's rules of order say somebody's got to make a motion first and then right. discuss it and then vote. But, yeah.
Okay, well,
let's discuss the consent agenda.
My only comment, I have comments on the reports, and I mentioned this at the workshop. I was a little surprised that let's start with the shipyard and the boatyard. Both of those numbers are what I would call nominal, if not declining. And I thought that was telling in that we raised rates in the shipyard, and not sure if we're seeing an effect by that or not, but that's an interesting trend. Also, when we get the Boat Haven operations report, nightly guests and all of that, it would be nice to have a bit of a comparison. I have no way of knowing with Boat Haven what's happened previous years to that. Is there a reason we don't do that? I don't know.
We never have, but if you'd like that information, we can do that.
Well, it'd just be interesting to know if we're ahead or behind mm-hmm. the ball game.
You know, all these charts that we do once a month, they've evolved over the years. Different commissioners
right.
wanted different information displayed differently. And
right.
So if we can change the
permanent stuff is pretty slam dunk. I mean, we know what's happening there, but the nightly guest is interesting. Or would be interesting from a year to year. And then
want to go back 1 year or?
Yeah, I think just 1 year would be fine. And then the last one was, again, as I mentioned in the workshop, it's interesting that the nightly guest at Hudson is down. Jim, you made a good point this morning that our inventory is down too. So we're probably seeing, you know, a pretty good efficiency in the docks, but we are seeing a bit of a, not a decline, but it certainly is kind of a nominal number. And RV nights is up. And I had a question with that. Have we raised rates over the last couple of years with RV nights?
Mm-hmm.
Every year?
We went from 48 to now 52. 48 to 50 to 52.
Okay. And every year we still have climbed in numbers here. So I would like to propose that we make a bigger jump than, so basically we're doing $2 a year. Is that right?
This year we're proposing $3, so 55.
Okay. So I would propose 56. Let's jump it $4 instead of 3 on the
nightly RVs.
Yeah.
On the prime sites.
And then appropriately, you're doing the same thing with the back sites too, right? So that would be a...
We're actually going 40 to 45 on the back sites, so we're going 5 on the back sites.
Okay.
Would you like to go 6,000?
Yeah, then I would vote 6 also on the back sites. So those are my comments on the consent agenda.
Right, so that was your comments on the operations reports then?
Yeah, so I make a motion to approve it based on those comments.
Okay, I second that motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, public comments not related to the agenda. Bill?
Steady. I'd like to make a formal request to the commission that a workshop is scheduled to discuss reformation and continuance of the strategic advisory committee as soon as possible. I think it's an important function, one that probably could use some review and recasting a bit, but one that I think that's important that happen in a prompt manner. I think it's important that such a committee has the opportunity to give the commission its thoughts and direction.
Thank you, Bill.
And just kind of tag on to that, I'm putting together a proposed work plan for us all for the next several workshops. PSAC's one of the items on there. If you remember, every January we have to, certain things we have to readopt, and it's your chance to modify things. So, everything from meeting schedules, agenda format, things like that. So
we have one workshop prior to January?
Well, December, yeah.
Yeah. So, that will we take this up at that?
We were planning on the capital facilities.
Yeah, we got the capital facilities. Let me put these topics in your box. Okay. And certainly the January one was the one I was kind of focusing on. But okay. Yeah, the capital facilities plan will probably consume the next workshop in its entirety.
Okay.
Okay, so the second reading. Budget. This is the time we talk about the budget for the second reading. And now would be where you'd put in your rate increases for the RVs.
Yeah. Larry's got the notes.
Yeah, I think we pretty much discussed everything this morning. I think we've got a budget that will work. Not necessarily to my satisfaction in the long run. I think we still need to do some strategic thinking about future budgets and the direction we want to go in. But, like I said, we can modify things as we go along. And budget is an estimate. You know, a lot of people see our budget and if you're $1 off, they say something went wrong. But that's not what a budget is. A budget's a guess. Educated guess, but still a guess. We don't know what the weather's going to be like next year, new regulations that might come out of the next legislature, et cetera, CPI, interest rates, all that stuff. But I would recommend that we adopt the budget today and get this one checked off and move forward. And if you need to adjust fire, in a few months, you have that authority.
We need to what?
Adjust. That's a military term.
Oh.
When you lob artillery rounds and it's not quite on target, you adjust fire. Can't help after 30 years in the Army. But you can modify it if you feel there's a need. So
this morning in the workshop, I guess what really bothers me about the budget is the disturbing trend that we've been having in our cash has been happening. Like I said, from $5 million down to $2 million. And I don't see that this budget is really making a real attempt. I mean, like you just talked about, the strategic thinking about our budget to try to reverse that trend. And I'm not sure how we could do that in this budget. I mean, what would you suggest?
Well, like I said earlier, you can't raise rates enough right. to, you know, we're saddled with a lot of infrastructure. I think strategically we need to review that. Pete, you and I talked about boat ramps the other day. Not a big cost, but I don't think we need all the boat ramps that we have in the locations they are. There's some other infrastructure that we may want to look at again and see if there's other ways to take care of it, either get rid of it, you know, lease it out, sell it, you know, some other assets. I think we need to have some serious talks about it. But you're not going to fix it with this budget. You know, we need to have that broader conversation.
So what are the reasons for the huge drop in cash from 2010? Is it just rates alone, or is there other factors?
Yeah, I was going to ask that same question.
Yeah, let's ask that question.
Well, you've been spending money, too. You know, it's a combination of things. You know, things are more expensive than they were last year and the year before and the year before that. We've done some projects. Just the fact that, you know, if your desire is to keep the same amount of cash in the bank all the time, just like in your own personal account, just don't spend it. But is that what we're here for? You know, I think we're here to move things forward for our community. And especially if it's an investment that might draw down the cash in the near term, but it's going to pay back in the long term with even more revenue, then obviously it's something we should do. But, or create jobs or something like that. I think it's a combination of a little bit of both.
Hey, Jim, on a spreadsheet that you handed out at the end of the meeting, the active commercial fishing, that looks like that's still at 5.5% on this one proposal. It says 3.5 at the top.
Yeah, I didn't change that just because, you know, it's still pretty low at 580 or 685, so I didn't move that down to 3.5, but I could do that too. I just did the permanent mortgage, not the commercial fishing. We actually did a resolution for the year that we would stay based with Fisherman's Terminal. Fisherman's Terminal is actually a little higher than 685, so we haven't kept pace with their rates.
I guess back then, some of the commercial guys came to the commission and said that we were higher than Fisherman's Terminal, and that's when they said, okay, we'll keep pace, but over the years, Fisherman's Terminal's actually gone ahead of us.
So then, why aren't we keeping pace with them now in this budget?
We can do that. Yeah, again, it's a big increase, 5.5%, so we didn't want to, I think that Rick Altman did a great job of explaining last meeting, you know, how he's feeling it in his business as a commercial fisherman. And we're trying to keep it reasonable, but not.
You know, he's not getting the commercial rate because there's no room in their commercial basin. But what I'm getting at is that if we're charging commercial fishing less than the rate that we were told the commercial fishermen we were going to tie it to, we need to be able to recoup that. And what is that difference? Is that going to be a substantial?
It's $7. Fisherman's Terminal charging $7. Okay. It's $6.85, so 15 cents a foot.
What are you feeling like on that rate?
Well, I don't know. I'm feeling like, kind of like you, the RVs have been going up and we've been raising the rates and the RVs still keep going up. And I'm finding that the mortgage is staying full, and we've been raising the rates small amounts, and they're staying full. I think that in order to really determine what a market rate is, we need to actually raise them. And I think that the proposal that Jim had done, the 5.5%, I thought was pretty reasonable because it didn't put us way over the top of anybody. In fact, it put us under still people that are in our direct demographic area. And I think that trying to make that catch up on our cash loss every year for I don't know how many years isn't going to actually get accomplished if we end up with a budgeted profit of, what, $30,000.
This document that Rick Oldman provided said Port of Seattle is at 6.77.
It's wrong. Sorry, that's the wrong number.
It's not right?
You can call Fisherman's Terminal. That's not the right number.
We'll check.
Okay.
Is that what you want? Is us to be same as Fisherman's Terminal? Whatever it is, we'll change it.
What are you feeling, Brad?
I'm more concerned about race. What Brad thinks.
Well, I mean, I agree with what Larry said. You know, it's we've got to do figure out more than just fixing our woes with rate increases. I think that that doing 5.5 with the mortgage after what was increased last year is it's too much at this time. I think that 3.5 would be reasonable, and if we need to, you know, take a stronger look at this, and we need to have valid reasons to increase it in the near future, then we can do it.
How about the RV? Putting in the RVs?
I agree with you.
Yeah. You can see who has boats in the marina, and you can see who has an RV.
As far as the yard, we're okay with the haul up rates that leave the lay days alone?
I am.
Mm-hmm.
Even though we're essentially the lowest in the lay days, anybody except Sea Marine, which always stays a little bit below us.
I mean, like you say, we can change it anytime we want.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to just see where it goes. Yeah. After another year. Seems like we dipped, and let's see what the world does.
Yeah, it's hard with the boat guard, especially when you're dealing with these big ships that, you know, there's an ebb and flow to the industry too. You know, not everybody hauls out every year, and sometimes, you know, so we get like the Navy contracts, get all the YTP tugs in, but they only come around every 3 or 4 years, that sort of thing. So there's a little bit of a up and
down. Well, and I also think that because of, you know, our situation with bilgewater and insurance, and, I mean, we're kind of tightening the noose more and more, and we have to. Maintain our permit. So I think letting it slide a little bit on lay days is appropriate until we get used to.
I still don't understand why we give discounts at the heavy haul out on like military jobs. You have those tugs you were just mentioning. They're here. Is it 90 days?
Yeah. It's not retroactive yet. It started.
We took it away.
Okay.
It used to be retroactive. We canceled that last year.
The Navy's got plenty of money, is all I'm saying.
But again, it's not the Navy. It's the marine trade that's working on the boat.
It's a good
job.
Yeah, but they push the cost through. Yeah. Pass through.
But they won't get the job if it's too high. That's the issue. They bid those jobs, and if they're high because of our rates, they won't get the job and won't come to our port. I hear you. But it's not the Navy with a blank checkbook. It's our marine trade bidding a job to bring jobs to Port Townsend.
I think the other thing too, I'm happy to keep the lay days below market, but I think we really need to spend time playing with the market in terms of like Wrangell and what's going on up there, what's going on here, and like John mentioned the other day that, you know, there's guys moving up there pretty fast and furious to work up there, but the cost of living is more up there. So there's a lot of dynamics going on here in terms of how that's shaken out.
Changing industry.
Yeah.
At the same time, we've got other boat yards that you know, around Puget Sound that probably won't be here 5 years from now.
Right.
Yeah, a lot of them are privately owned, but not to wish anybody ill will, as those legacy yards go out of business. A lot of times it's a family run thing. Mm-hmm. They get to the point where they just want to retire and the value is in the land, you know, so they just sell it off. But those boats got to go somewhere, so I'd like to think over time we'll attract more boats. Just because we're the only game in town.
So, what are the thoughts on the, is, I discovered this morning there's another sort of index out there that's not CPI, Consumer Price Index. There's probably some sort of a industrial.
Yeah, I did a little research over lunch. Yeah, John, if you know specifically, John, I'd like to hear what other indices
yeah,
are out there.
I didn't bring my notes on that, and that's not on the top of my mind right now.
Yeah. It's, it didn't come, you know, pop up readily. When I Googled, you know, other consumer indexes.
I'm just afraid that with this 3.5%, just like Brad said this morning, that if somebody doesn't like it next year, it'll go. It's designed to be 3.5% for 3 years, and I would think maybe 4 years. But if somebody doesn't like it, it could go away, and then we've lost the trying to play catch up on our losing cash flow. If we had something in, and there's so many things beyond our control that could affect this, like the rising costs. And I think if we had something that we could really hang our hat on that was more applicable to what we are experiencing rather than the price of gas, it would be nice to be able to have that in there so that we could then have a better, just keep up at it.
It's gonna be hard, you know, things tend to be more expensive for us when we do projects because everything has to be mobilized and brought over here. And people forget about that, you know. They could feel we're a rural community and things should be inexpensive, but you got to ship that $2,500 steel pile out of Seattle over to here, and that costs money. Yeah, so
do we have our own consumer price index of how much it cost us more in expenses this year, than or how much our expenses are going up this year over last year?
I don't know. I also tried to Google something about lunch, and there's a lot of economic indicators. Don't feel comfortable picking one, you know,
right
now without doing more research.
Yeah, there's some costs, like, you know, the state increased the PERS.
Right,
yeah.
Right. And insurance went up
2%. So, Pat, what did the Port of Tacoma, what did they use other than CPI?
More focused on return on investment. It's a little different game. When you look at a container terminal and so forth, you put X number of dollars into it. They just have anniversary dates. And mm-hmm. There's a set number that they go up, and if the indexes that we've agreed or the rail rates go up, then they go up accordingly. But that's the way, primarily, we just cost of capital, we put $50 million into the deal. We've got to get a return.
Yeah, well, that's referring to, I mean, like, we had some long-term contracts. I mean, where I used to work, we had 10, 20-year agreements with various customers for exporting a particular cargo. And once the infrastructure was constructed and all that was factored in, there was generally a CPI increase that was part of the agreement.
We tended, we looked at CPI, but for all the reasons you've heard here, kind of too ambiguous a number. What we did is on any long-term contract, say over 5 years or so, we usually have openers. Set openers where we meet with them and say, okay, here's what our thing is, here's what our numbers are, here's what we need. And so if interest rates are flat, that's one thing, but our fixed fixed costs usually are increasing. Whether it's be health costs, which were used to just go crazy, 17%, 18%, 20%. Pensions. So by the time you factor all that in, so to answer your question directly, I'll check. But I don't believe we have any universal index that we use. There's a transportation index, which would be more akin to what you're doing here, than CPI.
Well, back to my original concept, within our little port, we know what our expenses are every year, total expenses. So how much did our expenses go up last year over the year before that? What percentage, you know, is that like a percentage that we should then be applying to our income that we have, and our income is rates and fees and so on like that?
That is one way of looking at it. Have to dig into it too to make sure, you know, any anomalies, like, you know, 1 year there were claims paid out of 60,000 to throw it off, or retirement might throw it off. But yeah, that would be a start.
Because that's what we're really talking about, is we're trying to regain or retain our spending power by being able to manipulate the rates. And if our costs are going up at 9% and our rates are going up at 4%, then we're losing. So I guess that's a pretty crucial number to have to determine percentages of rate increases. We don't have that number. Ron?
I was just looking at the actuals for 2014 and 2013 off the audited reports. Operating expenses, that's the marina, the airport, etc. It was $5.2 million in 2013. In 2014, it jumped to $5.760. And that is a 10.7% increase. So when you guys raise rates by 2% in 2015, that didn't cover it. You fell behind. And I almost think maybe that would be an easier way of doing this thing, is if you said, if everything stays the same, what are the costs going to be next year? And arrive at a number, and then break it down. Salaries would be this much, payroll taxes this much, utilities this, and come up with a list and say, this is what we're predicting. And it's a $200,000 increase or $300,000 increase. And if you propose a rate increase of less than that, then you're going backwards. And that's really the crux of what's going on here, is every year we propose smaller rate increases. And I understand, you know, the need to do that and everything, but you're reaching a point where you don't have any margin of error left. And, you know, you can't just keep kicking the problem, the can down the road. You know, it's starting to catch up with them. And I don't think people really understand that, what the cost increases are and what the revenue increases are. And to me, that would be really important, like you were saying, Steve. If we did an analysis like that early on in the budgeting process or the strategic planning process, whatever, wherever it makes sense to do, that it would be easier then to, you know, justify a rate increase. Because right now, everyone in this room and in the Marine Tenants Association think costs shouldn't be going up more than 2% a year. Well, they are. But they don't understand. No, the CPI is 2%. How can our costs down here be going up? Well, we have different costs than your typical citizen. You know, you guys aren't buying a lot of gas that's now a dollar a gallon cheaper this year versus last year. And I think that's the problem, is that we can't see the impact of the cost increases and the price increases. And if you're saying, well, we're only going to do a price increase of this much, that's fine, that's your decision to make, but you're ultimately taking money away from the employees, either laying off people or deferring salary increases or cutting salaries. And so that's, you got to justify in your mind, is that what we want to do? You know, and say, well, hey, the employees work here, got to be happy they have a job here. So if we have to cut their salaries to keep the rates cheap, then so be it. But I think you got to really think about this, and is that really what you want to do?
Thanks, Ron. I think what I'm having a hard time with is we're basing rates on all sorts of things, but we're not basing it on what's crucial. And that's how much are our costs going up, you know?
How much what?
How are our costs going up? It's just like Ron said, you know, if our costs went up 10% and we only raised rates 3.5% or 5.5%, we're going backwards. And I'm not sure how much time it would take. I mean, Ron did a quick one off of 2013, 2014. I'm not sure how much time it would take or how hard it would be or how accurate it would even be to go back and do that analysis for, forget the whole United States CPI, let's do the Port Townsend CPI, or, you know, the PPI, the Port Price Index.
Well, CPI is a localized Seattle, Tacoma, Bremerton.
Okay, anyway, let's see what we're doing in relation to that, because I just hate to perpetuate the negative slide that we're in by saying, well, this feels good, or this sounds right, or this isn't going to make anybody throw rocks at me. Instead of, this is based on some sound analysis that we have of how much our costs are actually going up. Bill?
So would it be useful to just take the data points we have from actuals over the previous years and plot the rate of cost increase? Regardless of income or anything else, just how much it supports costs increased over time.
Yeah.
And see if there's some, if the standard deviation from what that trend line would be is small enough that you could use it as a projection going forward. I mean, you may want to look at, well, why is the slope like this? If the slope is fairly constant, you know, maybe there's something we can do to change the slope to lower the rate of increase. But at least then you have some rationale for saying that unless we do something, this is what's going to happen next year. Right now it's like, what the CPI says that's doesn't really relate to what the port does or what you wish would happen. But if you have that statistical information, maybe you could find a slope or a curve that would match it fairly well.
So is that something you could do between now and next meeting?
Imagine I could. Then come up with a new budget. Yeah, I'll be gone next week.
Well, I think we kind of have some targets. You know, we know that, I mean, we obviously know that we're not going to be able to make up this entire millions of dollars worth of shortfall by raising rates. That's obvious. But we can at least stop the continual slide backwards. And we know that if you raise them only so much before you start making people go away. And I think that Jim did a pretty good job of looking at the rates in our particular area. And that would be the one that had the 5.5%, and we wouldn't be over anybody, correct? We would be under, in fact, by a little bit of the people right around here. So I can't imagine how being under the neighbors that are having things that they don't have the amenities that we do would drive anybody away, but at least I'd feel more comfortable understanding that, or we may find that we don't need to go that high. I doubt it, but it's possible. But I think I'd rather tie rate increases to what the port price index is rather than CPI or other artificial things, because we just can't sustain continually going backwards. And I'm afraid that, you know, the last history has been that way for the last several years.
A couple comments. We're talking, if the 5 point, we're talking about particularly mortgage rates, which I think is a bit naive in that, you know, there are a lot of other revenue centers besides mortgage rates. We can't raise property rates, which are way under market value, way, way under market value. Let's talk about that. What's property rate downtown Port Townsend right now? Yeah, so let's talk about that. So what's the market rate in Port Townsend right now? Downtown.
Market rate for what?
Just downtown. I go downtown, I need
a shop. So downtown commercial
right.
is about $1.75.
And we are?
We don't have any real commercial. We're about a buck and a quarter.
A buck and a quarter. Yeah.
Is that what we're charging here?
No.
What are we charging here?
Well, Point Hudson's a whole other story. We're charging 75 cents at Point Hudson just because the buildings are in such need of repair.
Right. But my point is, so we're quibbling over 261 versus 279. Mm-hmm. So that's a $18,000 difference here. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we can get the budget done and we're quibbling over $18,000. There are a lot of other, besides the mortgage rates, there are a lot of other places where you could make up $18,000. And my comment is, I think the whole issue of what Bill's talking about and Ron and Melinda is a lot more systemic to the port as a world.
You're not going to solve it this afternoon or the next commission meeting.
Exactly. I mean, I would hate to see us, I just think getting a budget done, we can all, like, we have the power to come back and do whatever we want. We can change any one of these rates we want at any time during the year.
And in the looking into the future, when you're dealing with the infrastructure that we have, especially let's say with the marina, with docks and floats and that sort of thing, one could easily argue that a proper mortgage rate not only covers your operating costs, but is setting aside a little bit year after year after year, so that when AB dock 30 years from now needs to be replaced, you've got a little nest egg. It may not be enough to cover the whole thing, but at least a down payment to get that project going. And we haven't done that for decades.
Now you sound like
many, many, many decades. We've never done that.
Right.
Yeah, we just go out for another bond. Yeah, you know, put it on the taxpayers back and so.
I mean, if it was, I guess if, I mean, just listen to you guys, if it was, we're talking about $100,000 or we're talking about a balanced budget versus not a balanced budget, then I would be inclined to want to revisit it and really hone it out. But seeing how we're at $18,000 difference.
Well, and you already made up a little bit of that 18 with the RV increase.
Exactly.
Melinda?
But the other side of that is that, yes, it's $18,000 in port fees that it doesn't have today, and we will continue to need money until we bring those rates up. I don't understand why there's this. I just don't understand why we would go to 3.5% when it should be minimally 5.5% just to bring it to a below average rate.
But really, to be honest, that's an arbitrary number too. I mean, where does 5.5 arrive on this? It could be 6.5, it could be 4. I mean, you can pick any number you want on the scale.
Then why aren't we picking?
I mean, we should pick 9.5.
I actually
honest.
Agree with that.
Right.
With that rate, because I know that people pay 25% over, but I do believe that our port management has gone through the work of determining what at least an average rate is. And we'd still be below it at 5.5%. I just don't understand delaying it further when we have been under rate for at least 10 years on the mortgage. And it comes back to this morning's discussion too, when we said, well, you know, why is there this quote unquote reserve set up in cash for Port, or for Boathaven? when we know that once we apply the debt service, they have lost money every year. So we're trying to get to at least a break-even point, but even with that, it's an asset that needs to be utilized to its fullest for the sake of all of the people in the community, not 400 people that own veteran slips. And I just can't deal with the 3.5%. I think it's just wrong.
Here.
Can I make
a question? Go ahead.
Don't the tenants that have slips, the money that is generated from that, the income, is it offset by it's more expensive to provide that service? You know what I'm getting there?
Does
it cost the port more money to have the slips than what they're receiving? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's the
point. Yes,
so what exact expenses are going to the slips?
It's everything from personnel costs to maintenance costs to utilities to...
But does it not offset itself more so than the airport?
Well, that's the question. It's like, Kathy, you've got revenue centers, right? Shipyard,
right.
Boatyard, haul out.
Point Hudson,
Moorage. And, okay, so Moorage, maybe it covers 95%. The revenue covers 95%. Shipyard, maybe 80%. Boatyard, maybe 70%. So which one do you pick to go after more?
Right.
To try and get the revenue to cover the expenses. I think that's another way of wording your question. What's that?
It's the ones that you can. Certain ones you can't.
Yeah.
And we also know that the airport, people keep thinking on the airport, but the fact is, when we look at their income statements, the depreciation is a total misnomer because the assets are paid for by the government, not by us.
Page 13, it has all the expenses for both of them, so you can kind of get an idea of how that plays out.
Without the debt service.
Right. Yeah. Once you factor in the debt service. I didn't hear both of you. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Without the debt service. So we took out a loan or a bond to make a VDOT.
Right.
There's a payment on that. It's not included in this bottom line on page 13 or 14. But it spells out the expenses and how they're attributed to that cost.
Probably Point Hudson is the worst of all of our cost centers as far as not meeting balanced. My recommendation as the director is take a vote.
So I'll make a motion that we go with the 3.5 and the other rates that we talked about.
I second it. All in favor?
Aye. Any discussion?
Come on, any discussion? I'm sorry. Yeah.
I think some of the things, let me sit down with Abigail and Jim here and Eric Paulin and some of the items that we just talked about in the last hour. Let's start, again, feed into our strategic planning effort and start talking about a longer-term solution here.
So then we still haven't voted on a point of clarification to this Exhibit A that's listed on the actual resolution that's in the packet. We don't have that, per se. I mean, that kind of takes in what we've discussed.
That would be the rate cards that I distributed with the 3.5,
right.
not the 5.5.
Got it. Just one
however,
of that clarity.
There's still a question on commercial fishing rate that would have to be amended.
Okay.
So what did we just discuss? We just discussed that the motion is for 3.5%, and you said what?
That he gave us these rate cards after lunch,
mm-hmm.
which was the 3.5 with the 6.5
right.
commercial rate.
Mm-hmm.
And we were going to check. I'm happy with that.
If you're going to vote, we actually have to vote on the resolutions.
Each resolution.
Okay, separately.
Yeah. The second one is for the property tax.
So then what we're voting on then is not what you just moved.
Right, it's really, you got to move each of the resolutions.
Could I ask for a clarification?
Yeah.
Yes.
Assume you're 3.5%, you're really talking about the 2 cents per square foot.
Yes, that's correct.
Yes.
All right, but I think that what we discussed now is that we actually have that in a resolution.
Yes.
It's 634.15.
Thank you.
Jim, those rates are different than what's in the packet then, right?
Well, no. They're the same except for the 3.5 on Bohaven. This center page is different.
Brad, are you okay with just putting 685 into the commercial? You want to go through that more?
Well, they're going to verify Seattle's rates.
Okay.
You know, I was hanging up on that sheet that Rick Oldman brought in. I said 637, and they're going to verify it.
So now on this 3.5%, that's for 3 years?
Well,
that's just for this year.
Yeah. Well, what we're discussing this morning was for 3 years.
Yeah, right? So this is a question for you, Pat. So we, you know, we were kind of, we talked about 3.5%. We talked about saying, well, let's do 3.5 for 3 years. You can't really write that into a resolution, can you? I mean, you can't tie a commission
to future event, you mean?
Right.
For that length of time on a budget.
Right. I don't know.
On a rate item, yeah.
Well, we've done it before.
Oh, you have.
I think you could, but like getting back to what Branson, I think what you want is some flexibility though, because 3.5 may not be the number even a year from now, or, you know, at the next cycle.
This is a good exercise for us to go through.
Yeah.
I don't want to avoid the exercise.
What you're meaning, the 3 year exercise?
No, I mean,
Yeah.
He wants the pain to begin this.
I'm the same pain next year. Yeah.
No, I think the cash flow concerns are such that I don't know that you can postpone it for 3 years.
Well, I think this could be an ongoing discussion.
Yeah. And another index, is the Northwest Marine Industries. Northwest Marine Trade has an index that some of the ports use. So that might be another one for boats. But yes, to answer the question directly, as lawyers rarely do, yes, you can do it. But I extended it for 3 years. You could do that. But I think a year would be sufficient. And because I just listening to this, I think there's going to be this discussion is going to expand.
Well, we could say one thing.
Yes.
We could also make a resolution that our intention is to keep it at least, using John's terminology, 2 cents at 2 cents or better. So that we know going into each cycle, we're going to be at 2 cents per square foot. Doesn't mean we're tied to it. Maybe we do go back to 1 cent, but in all best efforts, I can't see us ever wanting, do you guys see us ever wanting to go back below 2 cents as far as going?
Depends on the band.
Depends on what?
If you have empty slips and no waiting list, you might want to consider that.
We turn into Port Angeles, and they can't give away a slip over there.
Right.
Yeah, it's going to be different. Each market is a bit, these are like niche markets, boutiques, or some deals. But I think the general concern is that I've heard see the warrant more rather than locking oneself into some long-term restraints that may not be prudent.
Well, I think the point is here is that there's two options on the table. One is to get 5.5% now, because we know we'll get it, and 1% after that, or get 3.5% now and next year and the year after that. Then that the idea is that 3.5% over several years will eventually catch up. But if we just do 3.5% now and say, we don't have to worry about the rest, we'll just do this every year and we might go down to CPI and might change your minds, and we're not really giving any surety to the fact that we're really trying to get this trend reversed and go toward more of a market-based fee structure, because we'll never approach it, we'll never know.
Well, these numbers won't change much unless either expenses are reduced or revenues are increased.
Yes. I have a question.
Kind of basic.
Since Brad and I have come on, let's see, we did, this is our second budget? How much closer have we brought up mortgage rates to the competition than when we started? Have we brought them closer to the market? We've not.
Now, as a matter of fact, I think that was partially my fault. Last year, I went ahead and I decided that we should probably do this broad market survey, and there was a fatal flaw in the idea. I was trying to find exactly what the and they did a wonderful job doing a market survey of the entire sound. Then we put it at 95% of the median, but the problem in that was that we put it at 95% of the median for the year that we did the survey, 2013, and then we adopted those rates for 2014 or 20 whatever. So we were already behind by one rate increase cycle. So
it's like that's a calorie survey. You're never going to catch up.
That's how come we didn't catch up. And so this one that Jim did was proactive and would try to get ahead of that so that we wouldn't be continually behind like we will be if we adopt this 3.5%, I'm afraid. So that's the idea, is to not be continually lagging by the fact that we were working on last year's numbers. We're trying to get ahead of and do this the coming year's numbers so that we can be where we need to be and instead of behind.
What did we increase last year?
Above
CPI.
In other words,
so we didn't even make CPI last year.
No, yeah, you did. But just CPI.
Let's see, it was 1.5 last year as opposed to what you're proposing is 2 pennies this year.
No, but we also rolled over the environmental fee into the rate structure, and which in turn had the leaseholder tax applied to it right before 11.
Oh, I guess in a perfect world, I'd like to see, you know, what are our true costs to include replacement costs, and what is the rate that we need to charge to cover that?
Have you seen our rates?
Yeah, well, that's the thing.
That'd be 10, 15, yeah. $12 a foot.
But that's the reality. And if we don't have the wherewithal to approve those rates, at least we know where we should be. But here's what, I just don't like all the talk that, you know, it seems like it's a race to the bottom. We want to be below average. I've never been in an organization that wanted to be below average. I'd like to be an organization that wants to be above average, you know, be the best.
And according to our occupancy rates and our waiting list, we are, but we're just simply not charging sufficient to warrant the waiting list. And I'm afraid that by doing the 3.5%, we're going to be in the same, you know, same boat as we were last time.
Well, we got 4 resolutions. I would recommend we start with the first one and just start to see where the boat goes.
Well, but the question is, you got the resolution that we're working on. What Exhibit A is going to say?
Okay, so the first resolution is a 2016 tax levy amount, that's resolution 631-15. We need to read the resolution out loud. Everyone's got a copy of it.
No, I just.
Everyone's got a copy of it.
This is the 1% increase in property tax. I think we're all in agreement on that one. So.
This is the 1%. So I move that we approve resolution 631-15.
I second it.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Resolution 632-15. This is the this is that little anomaly we found in our webinar. Can you explain what that is? I mean,
So this resolution supplements the prior resolution because basically in the RCWs it states that if inflation is less than 1%, that you can't get the 1% unless you declare substantial need. And in this case, in the last year, the inflation by this implicit price deflator, right, was 0.251. So if we don't sign this resolution, we'd be getting $2,300 instead of $9,200 additional tax money. So this just declares the substantial need that the port needs that money, needs the full 1%.
I think we've quite adequately addressed that need today.
Yeah. Yes.
I move that we adopt 632-15.
I second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, this is the rates.
No, operating budget 633-15.
This is resolution 633-15. Capital budget.
Operating.
So this is adopting the budget.
Yeah.
Okay, that's.
How do we adopt the budget unless we know what?
Okay, the next resolution is the rates. So this is just the budget. So maybe someone can explain to me what.
We have to do the rates first, right? Before we can do it, we got to do the last resolution first.
Yeah.
And then the next.
Dictates the budget.
Okay, so this is resolution 634-15. This is adopting the rates and fees of the Port of Port Townsend. The resolution 634-15 uses Exhibit A, which is the one that has the initial one that Jim did originally. The 5.5, is that correct?
But it gives you the alternative.
And we have an alternative. So, well, this is where we're divided. I'm proposing to do the original one that Jim had given us last week, or last meeting, so that we don't get in a spot like we did last year, or start off behind the eight ball. So I move that we approve the 634-15 with Schedule A being the Schedule A that we presented at the last meeting. Any discussion? Yes, go ahead.
Did you already have a resolution or a?
We did.
On the floor, from Peter at 3.5 with Brad seconding, and you went to discussion, and then you went into the executive resolutions.
It's already, the motion was already made, and it was passed by Brad and Pete.
We didn't actually pass
over the vote.
No,
under discussion.
That's essentially what you're doing right now.
So that's. Very good, Kathy.
Still on the floor.
This motion's on the floor. Actually, that's this motion. Okay. 634-15 is that motion discussing those rates. Okay.
So you just moved to go 5.5, but I didn't hear anybody second.
We haven't. You can't do that because I did make a motion.
Okay, let's.
3.5. He has precedence.
Yes.
His motion takes precedence. So I guess we're doing motion 634-15 based on the 3.5%.
Well, that's what you're going to vote on.
Correct.
If we're done discussing.
So are we finished discussing it?
I am.
Okay.
I am.
So the motion is opposed.
You're calling for a vote?
Do I hear a second? You already seconded.
You already seconded.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Aye. Okay, so the next resolution. Resolution 633-15, that adopts the budget.
I make a motion that we approve 633-15 using Exhibit A with what we approved at 634-15.
I second that motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Are we done?
Well, then comments and public comments.
Yes, now we have, let's see, those are the resolutions that are passed, so we have no first readings, we have no potentially immediate action items, we have staff comments.
Just a couple of quick things. We had a teleconference with the FAA and WASDOT Aviation last week to set up a FAA grant, the next round. This is for the replacement of the runway. We're actually going to dig it up and lay new asphalt. And we'll be meeting with Reed Middleton, who's our engineer of record here, in the next couple of weeks. The FAA would like us to give them a range for the grant. We're in at $1.7 million right now, but they haven't fully decided, it'll be based on engineering, whether to stay with a shed runway or go to a crown. If it goes to a crown, it's going to be a lot more expense because we don't have any drainage on the south side of the runway, and so all that would have to be put in part of the project. So we'll come up with a number. The FAA said they'll put whatever that number is, they'll put it in under our name. So, and that could be 2.3, 2.5, somewhere in that range. Because it's easier for them when the time comes for the project to actually go down. It's very difficult for the FAA to add more money to a project. So it'll be a little bit of an overestimate just to secure that. But we're not looking to do the project till 18.
Is there a cost to us?
10%.
Is there a difference on maintenance or operating costs from whether it be a crown or a slope?
Not really. Of course, it'll be all brand new, so you get like any new piece of infrastructure. Next decade won't be much in the way of maintenance or anything. But
is there a difference in the functionality of the airstrip to the pilots? In other words,
I've never heard a complaint about the shed design. And it's just one of those things, the FAA goes back and forth. I'd recommend that, just keep it the way it is, just replace it, you know, the asphalt.
It actually is kind of nice because most planes veer to the left, so.
So it's kind of keeping it.
You tend to take off.
Yeah.
The shed's nice.
So we had that, and then Steve, you and I attended the Five Things meeting with the EDC, the Chamber, Main Street, the city, the county, and PUD. And we get together every 6 months. These are five things that all the entities can kind of agree on to support each other. And it might be something we want to look at, again, in our strategic planning process. And pick those things that we really want to do and start working on them.
How much influence do you have with the FAA on keeping it a shed? I mean, quite a bit. Yeah. And you're thinking you're going to go for that?
That's what my recommendation is going to be, but I want to see what the other number is too. But we got a pretty good working relationship with the folks over there.
We're lucky to have you. Well, that's why we're lucky to have you.
Okay, any other staff comments? Public comments, Bill.
Just a quick question on the runway. Has anybody looked at, since this is the only airport in the county, has anyone looked at what the disaster relief requirements might be for airport infrastructure going forward? And since we're planning on ripping the whole thing up and starting again anyway, whether or not we might roll some of that in and possibly get some homeland security money to
high school from the FAA. And the disaster plan for our airport is, you know, with a big tsunami or a great kind of disaster, all assistance will come in by helicopter. Fairchild's over in Port Angeles is the primary for this region. They can take the heavier C-130s and other planes. So, and they actually kind of like our airport because of all the open space, which makes it very easy to, you know, bring the helicopters in and set up, you know, kind of a supply depot kind of a thing. Mm-hmm.
Any other public comments? Okay, commissioner comments. Brad? Pete?
I had one. That's what it was. I have a question. Do we have any, what's going on with AWAS and the antenna? Is that happening?
Yeah, we've been trying to get through this budget process.
Oh.
Bill and I have a meeting scheduled.
Okay. Oh, and we're also meeting on the boat ramp with a contractor.
A Tuesday? The only other comment I had is I had a joint steering committee with the county. We agreed that population in our county is growing.
I do have a comment. I want to thank Abigail and Jim and Larry for your work on the budget. We went through a lot of, as we did last year, but a lot of grinding. And really appreciate you guys. It was really good.
Okay, with no more comments, our next meeting will be Tuesday, November the 24th at 1 o'clock. Tuesday, November the 24th at 1 o'clock in the commission building. And there's no executive sessions, so this meeting is adjourned.